today my guest is Dion Amey, who is presently the current president of the American Holistic Nurses Association. Dion, welcome. I'm so delighted to have you on the show with us today.
Good morning. I'm delighted to be here with you.
Well, I don't know where to begin because there is so much to share about your work and your life and your spirit and the wonderful ministry work as well as the incredible good grief work that you're doing. Maybe we should just begin at the beginning and talk about your original training. We can say way back when because we're contemporaries. Way back when you went through your initial training in nursing. Do you want to kind of give us a little bio on yourself and how it all began?
Well, of course, I'd like to begin with the fact that I'm from New Orleans, and I was born here and mostly educated here. I had wanted to be a nurse from early on. Well, actually, I wanted to either be a nurse or a cowboy. I was having a hard time differentiating between those two, but when I really dealt with the fact that I didn't have a horse, that sort of narrowed my choices down.
So that's delightful.
From very early on, as a very young child, I was doing volunteer work in various healthcare agencies in my city and preparing for what would later be my life walk. I went to nursing school at the Touro Infirmary School of Nursing. It was a diploma school. It is no longer in existence. And then I obtained additional degrees after that throughout the years, first at the Baptist Theological Seminary, and then from this University of Tulane University School of Public Health with a degree in public health education. And then later sort of backtracked. It was an odd circuit to get a baccalaureate degree in nursing, which was required at the time because I was teaching in a school of nursing and trying to meet the state requirements for degrees in nursing, since, as you heard, my additional studies were in corollary fields but not in nursing per se. Mm-hmm. So I did go back and get a bachelor's degree in nursing.
Well, you're not going to get away without telling us the bandage story that you shared with me, because you were talking about your earlier days, and I love that about the cowgirl and the nurse. You're going to have to probably explain that a little further, but that was a doozy. That was a really good one, and I'm sure the nurses out there would like to hear more about that. But do tell us about the bandage story that you shared with me, because it's just wonderful.
Well, I was working as a volunteer at a very early age. As I recall, it was 9, 10, 11, in that age in my life, at the huge charity hospital here in New Orleans. And they had a lot of small children who worked as volunteers in the reclaimed gauze room. That was from a day and time before disposable supplies and people. And bandages, that lap sponges and things that were used in operating rooms were, of course, washed and then stretched out on racks when they were all clean and dried, and then folded and packaged in little packages and wrapped up to be re-autoclaved and used again. And so there were a number of children. One of the daughters of charity with the great big Corona caps, for which they were so famous in the old days, seated at the end of the room supervising everything, and we sang songs and wrapped bandages all day.
When you told me the story, it was so touching when you started to talk about the little child tenderness. And
yes.
Could you talk to that? That was so beautiful, Dion.
Well, you know, years later when I studied energy therapy, first with Therapeutic Touch and then later in the Healing Touch program, and became a certified Healing Touch practitioner and began to really study energy theory in greater depth, I immediately thought back to those days of these young children holding and caressing and folding and dealing with all of this bandage material, this cotton material, which is very absorbent of energy, and putting that loving, innocent, tender energy in those dressings. I was very moved to think of the impact that that might have actually had on the healing process.
Well,
actually, in Healing Touch, one of the things they teach is the energizing of materials before they're placed on people.
Yes, and that's what struck me when you shared that very lovely story about the bandages. And I think that it's a wonderful segue to another comment that you had made in our earlier conversations. You said, I was always a holistic nurse. That's the way it was when I was trained. And would love to get you to talk to that. We have been talking to holistic nurses, as you know, and one of the comments that is a very kind of collective voice is the nature of nursing. So if you would speak to that.
Well, when I went to nursing school from in the early 50s, I graduated in 1958, and so there was enormous emphasis at the time on environmental care and environmental considerations to create environments for healing. And part of that had to do with temperature, light, color, neatness and cleanliness. We had procedures in our nursing arts manual, care of the flowers, special ways that you had to go through cleaning out the flower jars and changing the water. Many years later, I learned that, of course, that water breeds germs and Pseudomonas and other things. But at the time, it was part of the healing and nurturing environment.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very steeped in the writings and work of Florence Nightingale. And so that was my earliest on understanding.
Interesting. I want to share this with you. We had a wonderful a Boston nurse on yesterday who is on the ANA Accreditation Council down in Washington, just a marvelous woman. And she was sharing with us how one of the American holistic nurses that I know you know very well, Jean Watson, that Jean Watson's writings and teachings was what she was raised in nursing on, and how, you know, this tradition was passed from Florence Nightingale to, you know, the nurses of today, such as Jean and yourself, and that almost every nurse that we speak to says the same thing, that nursing reflects this wholeness, this training in wholeness. And your specialty is psycho-spiritual nursing.
Yes.
And I would imagine that the Florence Nightingale training that you received really invited you to become interested and excited in that. Do you want to talk about how you got into the psychosocial, psycho-spiritual aspect of nursing? Because it's quite exciting.
Well, the inspiration for taking that path really came from the early on teachings and understandings of the person as a spirit being. And I define it now that we are not humans having spiritual experiences, but we are spirit beings having physical experiences and mental experiences and emotional and spiritual experiences. So from the earliest days, I was struck that what was happening in nursing interactions, more than the procedures and treatments that might be done or the teachings that were being done, but it was the connection of the therapeutic connection of the spirits, the unseen, unspoken, caring connection. And a great deal, of course, has been written about that, and it's terminology that's freely used, and yet I don't see it practiced to the fullest way that it might be.
Yes, I know that you shared a thought with me that, and we both shared this together, a concern for what we're presently looking at as a culture, no less as a medical culture, the absence of this kind of consciousness. Would you comment about that?
Yes, I'm alarmed as a, certainly as a nurse and certainly as an ordained minister, I'm alarmed with the progressive alienation of people from one another in everything. We're going to robotic society. You don't get a person on the telephone when you call anymore. You've got to go through many, many voice prompts. You know, we've taken people out of so many jobs. We're seeing that in healthcare as well. You fill in papers to admit yourself. You know, you don't come in the hospital until a few hours before you're to have surgery, so there's no chance to make any kind of appealing connection with the people to whom you're entrusting your life. I am deeply, deeply concerned about this for us, not just in healthcare, but as a people. You know, I think often of how desperate we are for contact and communication, as evidenced by the fact that people run around with cell phones and beepers and all these gadgets to try to get connected. And yet, the more gadgets there are, the less connected we are.
Yeah, and that is a very poignant thought and a very, I think, wise observation. And I would like to end on that note for our first break. We're going to cut away for 2 minutes.
All right.
Don't any of you listeners go away. We're going to be back in 2 minutes, and we are talking to Dion Amey, the current president of AHNA. We'll be right back.
This is Arnold Palmer. Parades, conventions, fun, and friendship. The Shriners have a lot of proud traditions, but none they're more proud of than the Shriners Hospitals for Children. I know, I'm a Shriner. The Shriners provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care to kids, totally without charge. And they combine that with progressive research and innovative teaching programs. There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. Call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Okay, so what do you get when you cross a ballerina with an insomniac? Someone who'll dance the night away. And that's what they're doing at a dance-a-thon put together by dancers and their community coalition to raise money for kids' after-school programs. All right, right. So what do you get when you cross a barber and a chef? A meal with all the trimmings. And that's what they're serving at a local youth center. Local merchants came together with their community coalition to make people's lives a little better. Now, what do you get when people bring their groups together? Healthier, happier, drug-free communities, especially for kids. So with your civic group, club, PTA, even your employer, contact your community coalition at helpyourcommunity.org or 877-KIDS-313. Because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
We're back with Dion Amey. And before the break, Dion was speaking about our cultural and our medical cultural concerns regarding, you know, how we are relating to one another as human beings. And Dion, would you like to continue with that conversation? Because that was really, to me, it was very moving, and I know that you have more to say about it. So if you would, please.
Well, we were entertaining the thought of the progressive lack of connectedness in society at large. As evidenced by cellular technology, the demise of personal relationships with bankers, with anybody. I mean, everything is done by a machine now, and it's a sort of a walk-away culture. And so it's no surprise that these same attitudes and values would permeate healthcare. I mean, they're permeating some churches. Drive-in churches, for example, where people sit in their car. I understand they have those on the West Coast.
Wow.
And put a little speaker in the window.
A drive-in like movie church?
Yes, like drive-in movies, but they're churches, so the kids can be in the pajamas and so forth. And I was reading a big article about that and was horrified, to tell you the truth. I don't think it's too mild a term. Deeply saddened. So we see that moving over into healthcare, and yet I think that there is an impulse in a person who, even if it's unconscious, who chooses to be a nurse, there is an impulse toward connection and nurture. it's built into the word itself. No one can say the word nurse without having at least an unconscious awareness of a mother breastfeeding a child, mm-hmm. or the nurturing process, mm-hmm. or an animal mother tending her young.
That's a beautiful expression, impulse towards connection.
Impulse is there. I think we're hardwired in some way that the people with that impulse would be the ones more likely to gravitate toward nursing. And yet when you learn everything you need to learn, and it becomes more elaborate every day what nurses are expected to learn, and then you get into the healthcare system, the acute care systems, especially the hospitals, there is, in the bulk of them, precious little room and space for the connections to occur. And I don't think we teach people very well in our educational system, starting from kindergarten up, let alone nursing school, how to connect in really meaningful ways. You know, children, we babysit children in front of television sets. It's a societal issue. And the healthcare crisis is in many ways bearing the brunt, I think, of the shifts in society. So my deepest longing is to help people reclaim that awareness of who we are and that we're wired for connections with other people.
Well, that's so beautifully said, and I will share with you that in speaking to other nurses, I've heard this more than once. It's as if there are these polarized societies. There's the body snatcher group, you know, what you're talking to. Remember that movie with Donald Sutherland? Oh, it was terrifying.
Yes.
And
the invasion of the body snatchers.
Yes. And I remember the very end of the movie, and it was just, you just wanted someone to get out alive. And in the dialogue that we're having and that I've had with other nurses, there seems to be this polarization of the nursing community, the holistic nursing community especially, and the rest of much of medicine, where you're talking about going into technology. I mean, they're now talking about prescriptions for health information and online doctor visits. And, you know, your comments are just so poignant to this, because we need to address that. Do you have any thoughts about how things could be changed or how these issues could be addressed?
Well, one thought is that the issue could initially be addressed by having good, solid, contemporary, holistic science as a part of all nursing curricula. That to emphasize more than it is being done now in many places, to emphasize the psycho-spiritual domain and the holistic understanding, which includes not just addressing spirit, body, mind needs of a client, but also your own self-care, environmental care. It's a philosophy of life, not a type of a treatment.
Yes, I would really agree with you. I think that when we look at the kind of core philosophy, and we look at the educational component of what you said was so meaningful, holistic science, so that we can integrate the psycho-spiritual environmental aspects and, of course, the traditional aspects of religion, of faith, of many different faiths, and integrate that into the evidence-based curriculums that we're all really looking for and we all really care about. What do you think about education as a vehicle for change within the nursing community?
Well, I'm very much impressed and pleased with the American Holistic Nursing Association's educational outreach, the standards of holistic nursing practice, and the core curriculum in our systems for endorsing and providing and approving educational programs, I think that, you know, we are beginning to make great inroads in sharing this information. There are more and more faculty members and more schools of nursing that are beginning to include these materials in education. So I think that that is certainly one of the places that we must start.
Yes. And what has been disturbing, and I'm speaking as an educator, what has been disturbing is that most education that has been given, whether it's in medical training, whether it's in any of our environmental trainings, tends to be politicized or commercialized. There's some agenda that's attached to it.
Yes.
And I'm sure you have comments about this. I think that there is a lot of education that goes on, a lot of continuing education for physicians as well as for nurses. But sometimes what happens to that education is that what's attached to it is an agenda that unfortunately does not allow for the whole person picture or the big picture of health or the integrated connectedness between that information and the reality of another person's life or experience who is going to use that information.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the industry of continuing education for medical professionals in terms of the source of that information? I know the American Holistic Nurses, you do a brilliant job in really bringing about holistic continuing education. Do you think that there could be a way of engaging the rest of the medical field in that kind of holistic education?
Well, you know, there is a wonderful American Holistic Medical Association. They predated the formation of the nursing holistic group and, in fact, were part of the inspiration to our founder, Charlotte McGuire, and her cohorts, who early on modeled the AHNA after some of the things learned through the AHMA.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, we've had joint educational conferences with them, and we're planning another one in 2006 in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
To join together. And heavens knows that so many of the big names in what might be called the contemporary holistic movement are physicians.
Yes.
Siegel
they are.
And Larry Dossey and Deepak Chopra, and you know, the list goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no lack of information.
Well,
but you have to have reached, I think, a certain stage of readiness and awareness in your own personal and spiritual development to be open to that.
That's a very wonderful point. I just want to share with you that one of the founders of the American Holistic Medical Association was a doctor here from the Boston area named Rick Ingrazia, and that goes back to the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. Your point is really important. I do think that we have to be receptive and in a place where we're open to this kind of philosophy. But what I was specifically speaking to was the fact that a lot of times the continuing education programs that are offered, like the cruises and all of these, you know, wonderful continuing education opportunities, very often they are sponsored by organizations who either make drugs or have some other product or some other service that within the medical community that they're selling. And I was just asking what you thought of that as a policy.
Well, we have a policy of, you know, we certainly have exhibitors and people at our conferences, but they have to be companies that we believe are consistent with our mission and vision and philosophy. Money drives the world. I mean, you know, the financial bottom line issues are what controls healthcare right now. That and I have to say concerning things like wide-scale advertisement of prescription medications on television,
mm-hmm.
telling people, ask your doctor if you can have this medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I find that a little more than a little disconcerting.
Well, especially when they also include the possible side effects, and sometimes the side effects sound a lot worse than the condition itself.
I mean, you know, so the thing is we're very twisted in what is driving the looking, the seeking of health care in the first place. And, you know, there are over 40 million people in the country uninsured. We have millions of children who are not covered by any reasonable kind of coverage. So anybody who looks at the situation could very safely say that we are in a healthcare crisis. We continually call this the best healthcare system in the world, but I'm not so sure.
Well, we're ranked 24th in the world Health Olympics. Japan is number one, so we are not actually doing as well as we'd like to believe we are.
Well, the hype is that is what it is. Do you see what I mean? I mean, that's the message that's constantly given to the public.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I agree with you. I mean, we've got a nursing crisis. We have a health care crisis. We have an insurance crisis. So, of course, how could we not realize that there's something wrong, as you say? What is driving the healthcare system really needs to be assessed, and I think your insights are just so rich and meaningful, and we want to continue to talk about them. We're going to take another short break. When we come back, I would love to invite you to share the good grief work that you're doing, and you were kind enough to provide an outstanding sermon on grief that you delivered to your congregation, and that in fact I believe you said it was one of the only few that you had ever actually made available or published, and
yeah, published.
Would love for you to read pieces of that for us. We're going to take that break. When we come back, we're going to hear about your wonderful work with grief. Don't go away.
Hi, I can't come to the phone right now because I'm abusing my children, not just verbally but physically. I'll get back to you.
If only child abuse were this easy to recognize. If you even suspect abuse, call Child Help USA at 1-800-4-A-CHILD. We've helped millions of people help millions of children. All calls are anonymous and confidential. So call 1-800-422-4453. Child Help USA. Trust your instincts. A public service message brought to you by Child Help USA and the Ad Council.
AIDS has created over 14 million orphans worldwide. That's the equivalent of every child under 5 in America, with nobody to watch over them. To help, please go to apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
Brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
And we are back. Welcome back to Celebrating Whole Health. I'm your host, Georgiana Donadio, the program director of the New England School of Whole Health Education in Boston, and we are having a wonderful conversation with Dion Amy. I would love to have Dion talk about everything for hours. She is brilliant, insightful, and incredibly inspiring and moving. What I said, though, is when we came back from the break, we were going to talk about her ministry work, which is, in and of itself, an enormously moving topic. She has shared with me a sermon that she prepared on grief. And Dion, if you would talk about your ministry and if you would share some of that wonderful sermon that you wrote with the audience.
Well, my ministry actually has always been nursing. I always saw that as my life call. I feel very, very deeply thrilled that this was the work to which I was called in life. It has been a difficult walk. It has been filled with challenges. Like any other nurse, I mean, I've been a nurse for 45 years, I think it is, some outrageous number. I'm kind of losing count. And I'm still working. I still see home health patients as a visiting nurse in the community. But the spiritual component of, as I said, of those interactions always was the thing that called to me the most, as I knew that I was dealing with people in transitional challenges and crises, and very enormously important life events, birthing and living and challenges and ultimately dying. And so I was very early on aware of all of those components of life as natural processes, and was drawn to consider working with people in end stages of life, even before the hospice movement got started and started in the United States. When it did, I very quickly had the opportunity to do that work. I had gone to a theological seminary in the 60s. But in 1988, I sought ordination to the healing ministry. And I was ordained by a Baptist church in New Orleans who examined me through the processes that they had established for examining candidates for ministry. And then I took a job as a hospice chaplain and patient care coordinator. And during that time, I was privileged to, in 3.5 short years, to make that intimate walk with hundreds of people. And it probably was the single most instructive period of my whole nursing career, as I observed firsthand the profound mystery of that process. Mm-hmm. And have thought a great deal about the fact that all of life is actually letting go, that we start that from the moment we let go of the safety of the womb, and then everything else is having and letting go. So it challenged me to understand that everything we have is on loan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how well said.
And to help to be good stewards of that which is loaned to us, be it material possessions or friendships or health, whatever we get, to treat it honorably and with gratitude and reverence. And then I think we need to help one another to learn how to have what I call a good grief, fully resolved. And what an interesting day to talk about good grief, but on,
yes,
this September 11th, when our collective consciousness is so filled with the thoughts of the horror of 2 years ago. And I know people are gathering all over this country and the world to acknowledge that. So I thought that we'd be very fitting if we talked briefly about the fact, the impermanence of life and the loss and the dying, and how do we learn to let go. And I think nurses must know this. They must learn how to deal with this, because they are the frontline people. They are the, you know, they're the ones in the middle of the night who are there,
yes,
when so many people choose to cross over late at night. And they're the ones who are with people when the families visit, and for the times of tenderness and questions and tears. And we must help our nurses go there without fear in themselves, and to learn that darkness and the light of our life are alike, and that we're made for joy and woe. And they're not a separate experience, but they really are different expressions of the life experience itself. Now, I really know that joy will support and nourish grief if we allow ourselves to claim it.
Dion, I could listen to you talk for hours. We have to know, where are you providing this wonderful ministry of yours? For people out there who are lucky enough to be in your area, where are you and where can we hear more of you, just in terms of your pastoral work?
Well, I am doing healing touch work at the God Space Center for Healing, which is a small sanctuary space that I built in a building in the rear of my house in uptown New Orleans. And I have a prayer and healing service there once a month on a Sunday evening. And then I see private clients for healing touch, grief counseling, psycho-spiritual counseling. And that, as I said, is my... It's all part of my nursing ministry. There was a time, I think, when people would say of me, oh, she's a minister and a nurse. And I say, well, no, I'm a nurse minister. It's like, you know, I put it all together, and I dream of the day when all nurses would understand that about themselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Can we give out a website, a phone number where people can contact you? I know that anyone who's listening to this program is as deeply moved by your words and your wisdom as I am. Is there a number that we can share or
Well, I have an email address. I don't have a website. I'm not a real computer person, and I've never really figured all of that out to my benefit and my detriment.
Can we
But I do have an email address, and I would be happy to share that, and
okay,
I would love to hear from anyone. Anyone, anywhere that has an interest in these issues, and I could give that to you now.
If you would, that would be
sure.
Great.
It's my full name, DeanneAime, Deanne Aime at AOL.com. Nothing tricky.
Nothing tricky.
No secret code name. You know if you're getting an email from me, but it's from me.
Isn't that wonderful? Deanne, we're going to be going in about 3 to 4 minutes to a break, but before we do that, if you would please read to us your maybe favorite part or maybe a selection from your, you know, from your wonderful writing that you feel would be appropriate for us.
Okay,
This is a sermon that Deanne prepared and presented, and I knew that I would not let her get away from this interview without her reading some of it. I wish you could all hear all of it. It's so touching and beautifully done. Whenever you're ready, Deanne.
Okay, do you want me to do that now?
Oh, if you would, yes.
All right. We all know someone who is grieving. We may know many someones. We may sit beside someone who carries a secret grief. We may be that someone who struggles with the stabbing pain of memory of a long-ago loss and wounding, a wound not yet healed. We are now, or we have been, or we surely will be, the grieving one. Because life is the process of having and letting go. Because we are all in the process of letting go of something. Some losses are tangible and obvious, such as the loss of someone we love. Other losses are much less understandable, such as the laying to rest of old habits and perceptions, the letting go of old fixes and ways of coping, the release of old ways of being and outworn definitions of self. These changes can bring a sense of emptiness and unknownness. Whatever the loss, it must be released if we are to be healed.
I don't know about the rest of you listening, but I am deeply moved and very grateful for you to share that with us and for your having written it, Deanne. I am so pleased, as I know the listening audience is, to have you with us. You are a rich experience and I think such an extraordinary example of what nursing truly is, and we thank you for your spirit and for sharing it. We're going to take a 2-minute break. Don't anyone go anywhere. We're coming back for more of this nectar from Deanne Aime. We are back. This is Celebrating Whole Health. This program is focused on reinvigorating, remembering, and creating a renaissance of relationship-centered whole person health care. And today we are definitely profiling the work of a nurse who is dedicated to providing compassionate, patient-centered care and holistic spiritual care. Deanne, at the break, we were all just gushing at the pleasure and the
the incredible contribution that your work is at this moment making, and I'm sure has made, did you say, 45 years of nursing. Isn't that remarkable? There is so much that we want to hear from you and we want to talk about. And very importantly, we'd like you to speak to the people out there who may be listening, who are either they're thinking of leaving nursing, they're not quite sure, you know, why they are still doing what they're doing, they feel disconnected, they feel that there's too much pressure, not enough time, not enough relationship-centered care. What is your comment to the nurse who is feeling somewhat discouraged in her working environment?
Oh, I wish that I could personally sit and hold the hand and look into the eyes of each and every nurse who is listening, being privileged enough to be able to tune in to your programs and to this program and in this moment, and to say to them how pleased I am that they are nurses, first of all, that they have accepted that challenge, and to honor them for the courage and the personal wisdom that it takes to even get started on this work. And then the next thing I so long to communicate to all nurses is to not despair, that God is still in charge, that we must create ways and find ways to have meaning in every moment of our work day, and that it can be done. It doesn't take an hour to establish a meaningful connection with a person. That's very lovely when we have that. But it can be done in a moment by just stopping to breathe and center and be fully present to the person that you're with. It's very difficult and challenging. We've got 10 people vying for our attention at all times and many, many places to go and things to do. But if any of us can learn to be where we are when we are there, that in itself establishes the spirit connection that holds the space for healing. Because all healing is self-healing, and our job as nurses is to hold the space for people so that they can do the work that they need to do. Be it healing and the resolution of illness, or be it letting go and dying.
If I was a nurse in despair, I know that having the opportunity to hear the kinds of reinvigorating comments and insights that you have and that I think the American Holistic Nurses puts forth, and I bring that up because I know you have a wonderful certification for holistic nurses that in many ways I think I've heard this said. Matter of fact, Vita Andros was our first interview, and she shared with us that the American Holistic Nurses certification program pulled her back into nursing after leaving for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And would you share this wonderful program with the audience so that they can know what this program is about, how they can partake of it, and how they can experience this reinvigoration of their nursing?
Well, the American Holistic Nursing Organization is an organization devoted to advancing the principles of holistic nursing and to relating to one another in ways that are empowering, uplifting, and ennobling. It was founded in 1981. To my dismay, I did not join it until 1990. It has been the most incredible, phenomenal experience of my life. The people that I have gotten to meet have absolutely inspired me toward greater good in ways that I would take me days to articulate. We're a small organization at this time. We're only about 2,500 members. It is open to any RN, any LPN, or any non-nurse who is interested in holistic health care. You do not have to be a nurse to be a member of the organization. The printed materials that you get, the the opportunities for interfacing and being with colleagues from all over the country. It's just the best gift you could ever possibly give yourself. And anybody, any nurse, we welcome nurses from all specialties, as well as those who are certified, of course, holistic nurses, because you can also get a certified specialty. But it's just like you can work on an orthopedic unit mm-hmm. in a hospital but not be a certified orthopedic nurse.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a holistic nurse anywhere but not be a certified holistic nurse. You know, it's an advanced level of preparation.
Right. See, I did not know that you could be a non-nurse and join the organization, and I think that is a wonderful thing to get out there and to let people know, because there are so many people who would just thrive on the holistic nurse's philosophy, that this would be a wonderful entree into such a beautiful community. But do tell us more about that certification program.
Well, it is not under the AHNA. There is a separate corporation, the American Nursing Credentialing Corporation. There is a process for nurses to apply for certification in holistic nursing. You can get information about that through our national office in Flagstaff, just as there are many colleges and nursing schools that have holistic nursing programs. So there are specific places you can go to study the specialty, but I love the generalist nurses. We long to have more of the what we call, you know, the nurses on the front lines, all mm-hmm. the med-surg nurses and the mm-hmm. orthopedic nurses and the OBGYN nurses and the nurses working everywhere in geriatrics and long-term care. We need them. Our organization needs their input, needs their life and vitality, needs to hear their experiences, so that together we can fashion solutions to the problems that we face. Yeah. It's just like we need interested others who are not nurses, massage therapists and herbalists and social workers and chiropractors and anybody. We welcome anyone who wishes to look to align with us to be a part of this marvelous holistic movement in healthcare.
And it is marvelous.
I would encourage them to contact the AHNA or to go to the website.
Yes, and we
AHNA.org.
Right.
It gives you all the information that you need. It is the best self-care resource that I know anything about. Oh, no, I'm not the slight bit prejudiced.
You have absolutely no agenda at all about American Holistic Nurses.
I'm not the slightest bit prejudiced about AHNA, but it has been my experience, and so I'm speaking really of the joy of my own experience.
Well, you have spoken so eloquently of your joy, of your experience, the richness. When I think about my conversations with you, Dion, I think about a richness of experience. I think about a true experience of being shared, of having you share yourself. And that in and of itself is such a profound gift that you've given to all of us. We need to take another very short break, but when we come back, we will have about 3 minutes left, and I wish we could have you on for three more hours. I'd like to invite you to think about what you'd like to leave us with in the vast resource of yourself, what thoughts you'd like to leave us with about nursing and about holistic nursing. We will be right back in 2 minutes.
This is Richard Tyson. Most people think of the Shriners as a fun organization, but they have a serious side too. How do I know? Well, I'm a Shriner. Shriners Hospitals provide kids with expert medical care totally free of charge, and they combine orthopedic and burn care with progressive research and innovative teaching programs. There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. For more information, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
It's getting dark.
Okay. Hi, I'm Lois. I'm a real true life mother of five, and I'd like to tell you about a cause that I've spent nearly the last 4 years ignoring: the futures of kids in my community. How do I do it? Oh, it's easy. I just don't show my support for after school programs. And here's the best part. It takes absolutely no effort. All you have to do is sit there, in your car, in your home, wherever it's most convenient to do nothing. After school programs are available in less than a third of the schools in the U.S., and my indifference is helping to ensure that they'll get even less funding. Hey, we all know what that means. Less chances for kids to grow and learn. Right, kid?
Right, Mom.
So won't you please join me in ignoring children everywhere by not calling 1-866-KIDS today or not logging on to afterschoolnow.org.
After school programs. Ignore them and they'll go away. A public service message brought to you by the After School Alliance, the Moth Foundation, and the Ad Council.
And we are back. Sadly, we only have three more minutes with Dion. And just as we were coming back into the break, she mentioned that she is going to work when we're done with this interview, and she has a gentleman, 89 years old, that she is going to go attend to. And how touching that this moving and inspiring dialogue, which I'm sure has been as important to you as it has been to me. The practical conclusion is the hands-on work that you do. So please leave us with your last reflections on this dialogue regarding your work in holistic nursing.
Well, first I want to say it has truly been a joy to talk with everyone and to talk with you, Georgiana, about that which is so critical and crucial, I think, to healing, and that is the true understanding of the nature of life and the spiriting process and the coming to terms with the fact that this is it's a natural, normal process that our bodies change and age and eventually die, and that our role as nurses is to be there as fully and completely with people as we can during those processes and to be as fully and completely there with ourselves. I think there are so many things that I might say, but what I would like to say is this, that as a hospice chaplain and a pastor and a nurse, I've been privileged to be with people at intensely personal times, and I've borne witness to remarkable transitions. I've witnessed healings in a dying time. And so the affirmation I make to the dying person is the same one that I say to each of you. When I see you, and I say this to all patients, regardless of their state of health, when I see you, I see a whole, happy, healthy, radiant spirit. I see you able to laugh and to run and to play. I see you full and free, a perfect creation of a loving God. You are a child of God, and you're living in a body that one day will wear out. One day you'll leave this body, and you'll be free. You will be free to live forever. You will go to the light. This is the truth of your being. My prayer for each and every one of you is a joyful, mindful, wide awake, healing journey in this life.
Oh, I cannot imagine a more moving and important closure to this program. I know that that is a piece from your beautifully written sermon, and you are so kind and generous to share all of that with us.